Good news for those of you with a thirst for knowledge. Technology provides a new way to slake your appetite. More and more professors are uploading their lectures onto iTunes and other websites. Instead of forking over thousands of dollars each year to enroll in class, you can now download a podcast lecture about quantum physics or the Epic of Gilgamesh without having to pay a cent. If you've got a favorite podcast lecture, let us know. Tell us who keeps you out of class and who makes you want to go. Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Our email address is talk@npr.org. Joining us now is Jeff Howe, a contributing editor for Wired magazine. He joins us from our bureau in New York City. Nice to talk with you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
And how many people want to sit around and listen to a class about, say, the medieval roots of Tolkien's trilogy?
Well, you know, there's no firm estimate of the numbers of people who are actually listening to educational podcasts. But I'd say it's certainly significant if you look at the number of podcasts being produced on the iTunes music store that are now available there. So clearly there's an audience for it.
Really? These podcasts remind us that even arcane topics can elicit the passions of an inspired teacher. Here, for example, is Lars Brownworth teaching 12 Byzantine rulers the history of the Byzantine Empire.
The Byzantine Empire was on the run. With its frontiers collapsing on every side, the nightmare of iconoclasm ripping it apart, and a succession of weak emperors barely resisting the decay. The problems looked insurmountable, certainly more than the Athenian-born orphan Irene could handle. But the empire's salvation was only 60 years away.
And you just listened to that snippet and you want to know about the dangers of iconoclasm and what the solution was just 60 years away.
I have to say this was actually my favorite of the podcasts I listened to. And it may be that I'm a history buff, but if you look at educational podcasts, all the podcasts are ranked by popularity on the mm-hmm. iTunes Music Store. And, consistently... Lars's podcast was at the very top. So it's not just me. A lot of people want to know more about, I think we called it the ugly stepchild of empires, the mm-hmm. Byzantine Empire.
And it's worth noting that he is a high school teacher and, as you mentioned, a very popular download.
That's right. That's one of the things that I love about the podcast market, the autodidact market, if you will, is that it creates a level playing field. You don't have to be an acclaimed professor at an Ivy League school to build an audience. If people think that you're interesting and they enjoy what you're teaching, that you will rise to the top.
And as we look here at a list of the top podcast downloads, his is number 3 after Harvard Computer Science E1, where David J. Mallon, grad student, Division of Engineering and Applied Scientists at Harvard talks to us. Then Physics Beyond the Standard Model, Luis Ibanez, a physicist and guest lecturer of CERN, Switzerland's famed particle accelerator and research lab. Then The World Beyond the Headlines from the University of Chicago, distinguished scholars and journalists invited to participate in the Center for International Studies podcasting project. And then comes 12 Byzantine Rulers, and then Psych 156, Human Emotion. This is, if I can read this correctly, Dalcher Keltner, professor of psychology at UC Berkeley. Have you listened to these?
Sure, yeah.
Are they any good?
Absolutely. I enjoyed them all. I think I will have to say that the physics lecture out of CERN was a little over my head, but I had it on good authority from a friend of mine who is a physicist that it was up to snuff. It mm-hmm. had been recommended by other people. The one I really enjoyed is the Harvard. It's sort of a primer to your computer, to all things, information technology. It's amazing that this is a free resource. And I think that's what we... is the epiphany about this is that not only are these available in a form that they previously weren't, but that it's free to anyone with a computer connection. I mean, you don't have to listen to them on an iPod. It's an incredible resource. You have a Harvard level class, and it's also these aren't simply podcasts. The Harvard course in particular utilizes slides and video, so it really is like being at Harvard taking a top notch comp sci class.
Well, I don't think we listened to as many as you did, but I have to say that some of them are a little bit less compelling than that example we heard about the Byzantine Empire. Let's hear an example.
I'm here today with Professor Sitar Mansi, who will be teaching the intro finance course that will be coming up on October the 13th. And like with all other faculty, I asked Professor Mansi to speak to me, as well as speak to you, about his course and about himself.
Now, we didn't get to Professor Mansi, who might be brilliant, but I heard that, and that was enough.
Let's just say you have to be driven to learn.
Driven to learn. Well, let's get some listeners involved in the conversations. Have you downloaded lectures from the web? If so, what did you find useful? What did you find entertaining? Our number is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, email talk at npr.org. Betsy's with us. Betsy, calling from Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Yes, hello.
Hi there.
I've downloaded the MIT OpenCourseWare for Physics by a professor named Walter Lewin. I think he recorded these in 1999, and they are so entertaining and very educational. And he does these fabulous demonstrations. For instance, he wanted to show that a pendulum is not affected by the weight, so he had this large pendulum, and he swung it back and forth, and they timed it. And then he sat on it and swung it back and forth, and they timed it. Things like that he does almost with every class. They're very educational and entertaining, and it helped me get ready for the MCAT, which it did well on.
So that was your hidden purpose, to pass the test?
Yeah, absolutely.
And you did pretty well?
I did. I did quite well.
Congratulations. Are you heading to MIT?
No. No, I'm heading to medical college in Oklahoma.
Well, congratulations on that, and good luck in the new year.
Thank you very much.
And I have to ask you, Jeff, how does this mean that kids don't have to go to class anymore?
I don't think it shows that. I think that the kids, do we know yet? This is still early. The real growth in this has been formalized by iTunes, by Apple, which has started what's a program, iTunes U, which actually sets up a page within the iTunes application for schools to post their podcasts. So this is really just starting this year. MIT was very early and deserves a lot of credit for pioneering sort of an open courseware philosophy. The people I did talk to, the professors I talked to, was the feeling that no, that kids were going to cut were probably also too lazy to listen to the podcast. And the kids who were going to listen to the podcast were the ones who were really driven to utilize every resource at hand.
But I wonder, are universities worried at all that this might at some point cut into enrollment? But I guess one of the purposes of enrollment is to get that sheepskin at the end.
Well, and it's worth noting that a lot of the iTunes U sites are closed. Berkeley is an exception. Berkeley opens up all their courseware. MIT is another exception. But a lot of the universities that are doing this, you have to be admitted as a student in order to access the podcast. Hmm.
Let's talk with Jen. Jen with us from Branchville in New Jersey.
Hi.
Hi, Jen.
Hi.
You're on the air. Go ahead, please.
I just wanted to say that I really like the one program called Slacker Astronomy.
And why?
Well, they give you all the latest astronomy news, and they do it in a humorous way.
And so you get the information you need, and you get a couple of chuckles, too?
Yeah, so some of them aren't as funny as others, but you they're so dumb you laugh anyway type of thing. But it's they really get you smiling, as well as giving you news about quasars and other things that will probably never matter in my life anyway.
Never matter in your life, but you're curious anyway.
Oh, of course. I'd like to know if there's going to be a supernova that'll explode sometime in the next 200,000 years. But it's fun to know.
It's fun to know. Jen, thanks very much. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you guys, too.
And that seems to be another great advantage of these, that people who are just curious can investigate their curiosities.
Oh, yeah. I think it's the best thing to happen for autodidacts since the invention of the book. I mean, this is a really neat thing that you can just go online and pick up lectures from halfway around the world. And it's interesting that the Slacker Astronomy, I wasn't aware of that one, but one of the most popular is a podcast called by The Grammar Girl. And I think it's maybe averages 2 or 3 minutes long. So it's perfect for, ADD culture. People can listen to a snippet on their commute or two. And this is consistently at the very top of the iTunes podcast list, not just the educational podcast, but their podcast.
Let's talk with Eric. Eric with us from Tallahassee in Florida.
Hi. I just wanted to say I don't really have a favorite podcast, but I have to say this is just really an excellent educational resource. I'm a second-year senior at Florida State, and I'm looking towards graduate schools now. And it's really nice to be able to listen in at schools across the country and kind of get a feel for what their courses are like just from listening to these lectures.
So comparison shopping is what you're doing.
Yeah, I guess a bit of that.
And also you might pick up some tidbits from somebody else's, you know, Physics 101 class that you could use in yours.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, every now and then you definitely, you know, hear information that comes up in classes here. So, you know, you're having to look back and forth.
Eric, thanks very much. Good luck.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. And that's, I guess that is another aspect. But this is, again, people who are going to be curious enough to seek out this information anyway, people who are already going to their own classes.
Right. Right.
We're talking with Jeff Howe, a contributing editor for Wired magazine, about the new phenomenon, a relatively new phenomenon, of downloadable podcasts of university-level lectures. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's talk now with Ray. Ray calling us from New Haven in Connecticut.
Hi. I've listened to the lectures on 12 Byzantine Emperors the last couple of days, partly because it was listed so high on the Apple list. And I just want to mention that, like everything else on the web, material that has no designation as to who it is who's delivered it is of extremely questionable character. In this case, I was relieved at least to hear that the guy is a history teacher in high school, but certainly even from listening to it, it's clear that he is not an historian, he's not a Byzantine specialist, he's very gossipy in the content that he has, he reads the sources uncritically. He is well-read in the material, but he just doesn't really know what history is about. And although the material itself was reasonably entertaining, the value that it has as historical material, as lectures, is highly questionable. And in this case, since nowhere during the course of the 12 lectures, as far as I recall, does he ever identify who he is, the authority with which he's speaking, the question of whether there's any reliability to the material at all, is never really addressed.
So if it's free, you have to worry, I guess, Ray, is what you're saying, that you get what you pay for.
Oh, even if you pay for it, you sometimes have to question that, too.
And I guess he's got a point, Jeff Howe.
Yeah, I'm curious, Ray, did you catch him out on inaccuracies?
I'm not a Byzantine historian either, although I do work in history. From the period, you know, a lot of the stuff I sort of half know, particularly for the earlier period. A lot of the material that he was saying, he had rather questionable choices about what he covered, but a lot of it was really he was following the sources in a way that suggested a kind of naive appreciation of what it is that they say, rather than the sorts of things that the more critical reading that an historian would actually give them.
All right.
Well, I think that is a good point. I mean, I think that caveat emptor applies whether it's text that you read online or a podcast. But I think for the popular audience, you know, that it might be more appropriate. But it is a good point.
Ray, thanks very much. We appreciate it. Bye bye. Let's turn now to Mariah. Mariah is with us from Cleveland.
Hi.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yes, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Well, podcasts are like the greatest things in the universe, and I just discovered them by chance because I went to the alumni weekend at Stanford University, and you could pull up all these lectures, and the best was Why Baseballs Have Stitches, and it's a physics lecture, which I know nothing about. In fact, I had a hard time even understanding it, but I loved the lecture and the interaction and how you can hear the students, and they're just, it's just like this free information. There's charter schools, there's, you know, inner city politics, there's, you know, basket weaving. There's just so much. It's fantastic, and it's free, and it's accessible 24/7.
So, Mariah, before we let you go, why do baseballs have stitches?
I still don't quite understand. I just really like the lecture.
I think it might be to hold them together, but
it has to do with physics. No, it has to do with the shape, and they talk about bocce balls and golf balls and why golf balls have dents. And it was a little over my head, but it's like free university classes at the tip of your fingers.
I think she's magic. I think she's raising an issue that's generally called Jeff Howe, the democratization of information.
It's just unbelievable. And Berkeley is really great, and UC Chapel Hill is really great. I can go to nursing schools. I can go to public health sites. I can go to the AIDS conference up in Toronto and get all their lectures. It's unbelievable.
Thanks, Mariah.
Bye-bye.
And that democratization of information, I guess that's one of the things that the web has really revolutionized.
That's right. And I think that there was an underappreciation and underestimation of just how thirsty people are for knowledge and how large that demographic of autodidacts might be. I mean, this has really stirred a lot of passion for people. I mean, it reminds me a lot of, I think, before YouTube. There was an underestimation of how creative people were and the lengths to which people would go to create their own media, be it a blog or a video.
Mm-hmm. Are there, well, obviously, Ray, our caller from New Haven, pointed out you do have to worry about the bona fides of whatever you're listening to. But are there any other downsides to this?
You know, I want to say no. I think it's great. I mean, it's free. It's not like people are you know, emptying their wallets for this stuff. I think that so far, at least, it doesn't seem to have a deleterious effects in the schools or for the professors or for the courses. I mean, some courses are not well adapted for this approach, and I suppose a professor tried to force it into a podcast format. That would be unfortunate. But I haven't even heard any anecdotes of that taking place.
Jeff Howe, thanks very much. We appreciate your time. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Thanks for having me.
Jeff Howe, a contributing editor for Wired magazine. He joined us today from our bureau in New York. Well, tomorrow it's Science Friday. Ira Flatow will be in this chair. I'm off next week. Joe Palca will be here Monday. Then Scott Simon will join us to host Talk of the Nation Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. I'll see you Monday the 8th. Happy New Year. I'm Neil Conan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News.